Hi guys, for all the latest MBB happenings, or if you would like to have your music feature on our podcast, or if you would like to be a guest of the podcast itself, simply follow us at MBB Podcast on Twitter, you can find us on Facebook, and as always, please subscribe to our iTunes channel. Cheers! Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Men Behaving Badly, Epic Pale. As always, I'm joined by Ashley.
Hello.
And by Tom.
Hello, everyone.
And this week we're going to be having a look at a couple of pale ales. We're going to be going on the lighter side of things this week, which I'm sure Ashley is delighted about.
Absolutely buzzing.
Yeah.
I'm so pleased.
This is going to be far more your area, I think.
This week. Is back to normality for me. Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, we've got the return of Tom's Travails week as well.
You made that exact noise when we did Tom's Travails the first time.
Yes. and also the return of IPA or IPNay, but with a slight twist.
Version 2.0.
Yes.
Yeah. Which rejigged the format.
Absolutely, and you'll hear all about that later on. but I think we should start off with Tom's Travails. Tom's Travels. So Tom, could you explain a little bit about the beer that you've bought here?
Yeah, it's not a pale ale. Sorry, on the pale ale episode. So this is back when I went to Montenegro, and it's Nikšić Tamno, which is a dark beer. I never foresaw that this would be the first beer that I try and age. After listening to the Beer O'Clock Show episode, which I really liked, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to give that a go. And I've decided, well, inadvertently, to have a Montenegrin dark beer as the one I've aged for. It must have been about 6 months.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a good
one. I'm actually going to go to the sink, because this feels like it's going to blow.
Yeah, there's not a lot of give there. So when you
do the tappy thing. If you do the
I'm not convinced.
I don't think that works.
It works. Every time I do it, it's going to work.
You might even hear it on the.
Let's see if we can hear it.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, is that absolutely fine? That was absolutely unnecessary.
And annoyingly, it was a really good opening as well. It was like that crisp.
Yeah, that would have sounded great closer to that.
I actually watched a YouTube video on how the ring pull works. Yeah. It's actually really interesting that it creates a tiny hole just underneath where the ring pull is that vents it, that releases the pressure, and then it allows easier opening of the actual perforated hole. Because if you try to just push through the hole, you're pushing against the pressure that's in the can, whereas by creating a tiny little hole, you vent it, equalise the pressure between the inside and the outside, and the perforated hole pops straight out.
Wow. I did not know that.
And you thought it was just a quick little...
But there you are, beer fans.
Science.
There you go.
That's actual beer content.
Yeah.
Well,
I've learnt something today.
My memory of this is, it was nice. It seems to be quite smooth.
We're talking about Ashley's area of expertise, and here comes a dark beer for Trevor.
I mean, I would read the label, but it's Montenegrin.
Yeah. How much of the language did you pick up for you?
None. They all spoke English.
Oh, well, there you go.
In some way. But, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys.
I must say, getting straight into the aroma of that, it sounds generic, but this is probably what you would expect. If you were kind of a really amateur beer drinker and you were given this to smell, this is what you would expect a beer to smell like, I think.
Yeah.
As generic and as simple as that sounds, I think that's the best way I can describe the smell.
And the beer as a whole is pretty generic. I've just given it a taste. It's just your generic dark beer. I mean, I think Nikšić is more like, you know, your macro breweries. I just don't think they do dark beer a lot, because I did read that the country doesn't really buy into it, the whole dark beer thing. So when I did order one, I think I said this the last time, it's like, it's a dark beer. Like, you sure you want that? It's almost as if, like, I didn't mean to order a dark beer. So don't. So I kind of feel like it is slightly more specialised. But to me, the taste is, it's just like a generic dark. There's no real, like, big hit of flavour. It's just that kind of bit of coffee, bit of, like, quite carbonated as well, isn't it? But that's probably because it's been in the can for 6 months.
I don't know if I even get the taste of it being that dark. If I had this blind, I'd actually probably say it's a lot lighter than it is in reality. It doesn't really taste like a dark beer to me. It tastes like a reasonably... I wouldn't say it's, you know, it doesn't taste like a pale or anything like that, but it's, you know, it maybe tastes like a bitter or something like that, not like a proper
dark beer. I totally agree.
It's probably like a, you know, like a chestnut brown bitter or something like that, as opposed to a proper dark beer. So I was actually quite surprised by it, because it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's leaving a good aftertaste. I mean, it's not a bad tasting beer. It's just I just feel like it's just a classic sort of generic kind of macro type dark beer. But I know what you mean. It just doesn't smack of a dark beer in terms of the taste.
It doesn't wow me, really.
I don't think it's ever going to wow anyone.
I'm not particularly a big fan of it, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I just think it... I don't know, it's got a heavy taste to it, but it's not a good heavy taste that you get from some of the darker stouts or porters that we've had previously. I think it just, for me, it just leaves a little bit of a bad taste in the mouth. The flavours are there, I can see the flavours, but...
You want mushrooms?
I can see the coffee, I can see
the I can hear colours.
I shouldn't have been staring directly at the beer while I was saying that. But I can see where the flavours are.
Yeah, I get you.
In the taste. But yeah, for me, it's just it's nothing particularly special. It's nothing groundbreaking. It's just not for me, I don't think.
What percentage do you think it is?
I was going to ask you what it was.
Actually, yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe a 5.
I'll go maybe a bit lower. Maybe like a 4.5.
6.2.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a shock.
It can be a bit dangerous in terms of it. It doesn't really, you know, it's a high. It's not really a Bico, is it? But it's creeping up and doesn't really taste of 6.2. It's got a bit of alcohol, but yeah, I probably would have guessed 5. I think before.
I'd say 5. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got through that. Yeah, I've got through that.
Yeah, I think just it's never going to wow us. Wow. It's never going to wow us. But you know, it's a shame that I wasn't able to. Because I think there are some breweries, more crafty, if you like, in other areas of Montenegro that just not in the area I was. So it's kind of the generic Nixco stuff. But it was like with the light stuff, it was just, you know, it didn't taste bad, wasn't a worldy beer, just did a job really, so.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, they always say online about Nixco, they always say, if you age it for 7 months, it's perfect. But for 6,
one more month.
But for 6, it's just not worth it. Not worth doing. Wasn't that, 7.
There's no way it was 6 months ago you went to Montenegro. It must have been sooner.
Oh
than
yeah,
that.
It can't have been 6 months.
No,
because we only started the podcast 6 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's about 3 months ago then. Yeah. 3 months.
You've not aged it for long enough at all.
No, there's been 6 months.
There's your problem. 3 months.
So yeah. It would have been interesting if it has changed the flavour at all. I doubt it has. It would be interesting to do that, though. I think, for future episode is to you know, buy something and really age it for quite a while and see. Obviously, taste it, get to taste one, and then age it for 6 months or whatever it is, and then taste it again. It'd be interesting to test them.
Just get loads of them and be sort of tasting them.
Well, that's what they said, I think, on the episode, was that, you know, you can, if you have more than, obviously, if you get a good range, you can kind of open at 3, open at 6, you're like, oh yeah, actually it's really good at this point. But then you never know, do you? It's a gamble, isn't it? You're never going to know when it is. Does it get to a point where it just always plateaus? It's never going to get it better.
Yeah, it's like The Price is Right, isn't it? Was it that where you couldn't be a penny over?
Yeah, that would be a penny
over. And you lose. Because it might be like you get one day over.
Yeah,
and it's
crap. Yeah.
So with that, there was no Brucey bonus, really, with that one.
R.I.P. Brucey.
Okay, cool. Should we move on from that? I think it's just
I'll say quickly, I'm not surprised that they were a little bit sceptical as to why you were buying a dark beer. I think they knew why, really, with that one.
Well, on that downer, hit the jingle! Tom's
Traveller! So we are now going to move on to our pails, as Tom quickly rinses off the glasses. So we're going to start with the Yulu, the loose leaf pale ale from Siren Craft Brew, picked up along with the other beer that we have, which is the Penny Lane Pale from Mad Hatter Brewery, mm-hmm. Picked up at Brewclopedia,
yep.
In Leicester. Once again, big thank you to them.
Mm-hmm. I spent my entire lunch break there today, purely because I went in. We'd been tweeting during the morning, both, there's me, Brewclopedia, and a follower of ours, Paul, which at UNRCD, who's been with us right from the start, I think, actually. He's been with us and has sort of joined in our conversations and given us feedback on the podcast, which we really appreciate. And he recommended a Monster Pale from Beavertown. So I sort of tweeted Brewclopedia to say, fingers crossed you've got one of those in. They said that they didn't, but they had loads of good alternatives. And to be honest, that's why I was there for, the best part of sort of 40 minutes looking at all the pale ales, as well as, drinks for upcoming episodes for silly things we've got planned and whatnot. But yeah, it's a particularly large range, a really good range.
And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you could lose a lot of time in there, especially for the guy that was working, and I do feel bad because I didn't ask his name, but incredibly knowledgeable. He's a proper beer guy that works in there. So, it's a great place to go in, have a chat, talk about beers, and come out with some absolute corkers, which I'm hoping we're going to enjoy tonight.
Absolutely, including, the Yulu from Siren Craft Brewery. Mm-hmm. I just want to read the back of this, because there's the first paragraph of this has quite intrigued me somewhat. So it reads like this. The sirens of Greek mythology would entice mariners with their magical songs. Their voices would entwine into a complex, layered melody. At Siren Craft Brew, we work in a similar way. Combining four ingredients that interact together in magical ways to create our ales.
Nice, I like that. Like some humour.
I like the idea of just like mermaids sitting outside of the brewery enticing people in there to drink their beers.
Trying to cause havoc with semen.
Oh, you did it again. Literally. At least we made it to 12 minutes this week before you made any reference.
Any cock, sperm, penis reference.
Oh, my days.
Sorry. It has been hard.
I don't think I've tried Siren enough, really. I've always seen them as one of the breweries that kind of stand out and make some good beers. But I've not, if I'm honest, I can't remember the last time I tried one, if I have before. I feel like I must have had one down at Mason's or something. But
I mean, as I say, I had the Viennese Whirlpool when I was in Munich, thinking that it was a traditional, a lovely German beer, and finding out that it was brewed in the UK. And I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a fantastic beer. So I've got high hopes for the Yulu here. So it said it was a loose leaf pale ale.
Yep.
I think we can shed any light on
the question. Well, the lead-in question to being directed to this beer was, do you like tea?
Right, okay.
And my answer was, I do.
I do like tea as well.
And so I think, the suggestion is that, there's some sort of form of leaf tea used in the brewing process. I think it sort of swirled in with the hops and everything else. I think there is some tea involved in the process. So, it'd be interesting to see whether we get that.
In the ingredients, your classic water, malted barley, wheat, hops, yeast, tea, and lemon zest.
Mm. I can see that. I mean, looking at the colour there, that is a prime lemon yellow. There.
It's really nice colour.
Straight off the bat. And you do get a little bit of the zest out of it as well with the aroma.
Yeah, you do.
It's not overpowering, which is good, which especially for lemon, that's a good thing to not have an overpowering scent of it. So I already feel like, I haven't had a sip yet, but I already feel like I'm really going to enjoy this.
It smells really hoppy as well.
Absolutely. So cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm glad we're back on the glass this week as well.
Clink, 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 clink.
Don't have to feign the clinks in there. So what are your initial thoughts, Ashley?
Yeah, that's a belter. Mm. Yeah, big fan of that. Big fan of that. I think it probably isn't as hoppy as I thought it was going to be from the smell. I think it smells very hoppy, but the taste, it certainly has it there, but it doesn't smack you in the mouth with hops in the way that I thought it would. It's a pleasant hoppy flavour, but it's not a sort of real kick in the mouth of hops. I think that's really nice, actually.
I'm a big fan of that, I must say. It does feel more like a summer beer, and obviously we're getting into the really, it's getting very cold out there now in early parts of November. But
I'm a big fan as well. Really love the hoppiness. Like I say, it's not a big overpowering hit, but it's just enough to really just get you interested in a hoppy beer. And
yeah.
Not too much lemon for me. I think there's enough there, just sort of right at the start for me. But there is that kind of, I can kind of see where it is with the tea. I mean, it's, yeah, that kind of quite refreshingness, about tea, it's, I don't know, it's hard to describe the tea flavour, because it's...
I think that's getting a little bit lost on me.
If I'm honest, it's that classic thing, if someone says it's, do you taste this, do you taste that, you kind of then think it, don't you?
Yeah.
I really think if I just blind tasted that and didn't know it was tea, I probably wouldn't have picked it up, if I'm honest.
Definitely, with the tea. I think with the lemon zest, I think we might have been able to pick that up if we hadn't known that beforehand. Mm. I think that does shine through. But yeah, I'm with you on the tea. If somebody hadn't said, do you like tea? And with that being been the kind of main point of it, I don't think I would have... I don't think I'd have picked up on that.
I think for me, it's more of a sort of feeling in the mouth of tea. There's that sort of... Once the main sort of crux of it is gone and you've swallowed it, it feels like it's sort of coating the tongue a little bit. It's like that sort of tannin coating that you'd get from a sort of herbal tea or something like that.
Mm.
So it's more a sort of feeling of tea for me than a taste. So actually, it's like you're getting some of the effects of the tea. But I agree that I think, I'm assuming that the tea flavour is probably quite a subtle one, and actually the level of hop that we have here with that lemon zest kick as well has probably sort of pushed that out to a certain extent. It's probably dominated it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's actually, in terms of the way it feels, it is different to things that I've had before in the way that it's sort of coating. And actually that's helping the flavour to sort of hang on for a lot longer.
It's so light as well, isn't it?
It's a beautiful mix of sweet and bitter on the mouth. It really blends well together. And it just goes down so easily.
Well, it is 3.6%, so yeah, it's going to be quite light, isn't it? But it's just, just really goes down with that refreshing lightness. I wish it was summer.
Yeah, no, it really does
get me wrong.
I could say it now, I could spend all night on this, I think.
What, 2 pints?
This might even push me to not nurse
to
a drink.
Oh yeah, this is...
I'd smash loads of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
It almost the end of my taste doing that. I just want to keep going back for more, and it's always a good sign.
Yeah, I'd smash loads of these.
This is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any left in the bowl?
There isn't, I'm afraid. Well done, Siren.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
Through that.
I had high expectations. As I said, the Viennese Whirlpool that they did was a cracking drink, and so had big expectations coming in, knowing that we're going to drink this, and exceeded those expectations, I must say. It's beautifully, surprisingly sweet, and really, really refreshing beer that they've got here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really nice. I've been on the sort of pails over the last few days to try and get back into the mindset of it.
kind of got lost in the wilderness.
I tweeted about it yesterday. I was on the Dead Pony Club from Brewdog, which was hoppy as anything. I mean, that was the first sort of sip of that was like a, took me aback with how hoppy that was. And I'm actually quite pleased that this is a little bit less than that, because I think that's, for me, that's the sort of sweet spot of
you know, you get that hit of it, but it doesn't absolutely knock you for six. You sort of you still get other subtle flavours like the lemon and that sort of thing. So yeah, I think that's a corker.
Mm.
Big fan of that.
I'm a big fan. Tom?
Yeah, massive fan. I think I've said it all really. Don't have anything else to say. Very good.
Yeah, it's all gone down very quickly as well. I think we're all wanting more as well, aren't we? So, absolutely.
So, what have you boys been drinking this last week then? Because normally we do that right at the start and we sort of skipped over it. Yeah. We're so excited for Tom's Travel.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So, what I had actually, which I was quite impressed with, were the red, I think it's Redwood ales, or, you know, the little cans getting Aldi. They just brought them in. I think it's Redwood. Yeah. But I was really surprised because they sort of cropped up. And obviously Aldi's been doing a lot of, like, bringing a lot of, like, craft beers and, you know, like sort of ales, like, you know, the big bottles. But they'd brought these cans in. I think it was Redwood. And I sort of picked one up. One was a steam lager and one was a IPA. And they were really good. Like, I was really surprised. They were just really fruity. A great sort of haziness to it, like sort of a like an orangey kind of like colour to it, and just looked really good, but like tasted great. It's just the flavours were just fantastic, and I guess I was just surprised that I could pick something up like that in Aldi for £1.25 for the can, and raising, you know, I've always like thought about us discussing, you know, around supermarket beers and stuff. It's probably for another podcast, but I was really pleasantly surprised, and a brewery that I'd like to drink more from because know a bit more about. But the steam lager did have that, you know, there was a lager feel to it, but it was really flavoursome.
Yeah,
and their IPA is fantastic. That was really good.
So is that a brewery that's brewing specifically for Aldi?
No, it didn't have like a brewed for Aldi thing on it.
They're just selling them in Aldi.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I think that's what I had. I can double check in a minute at the brewery if you guys want to talk about.
Another thing I tweeted about was I went to Bill's, which I think is sort of a, you know, a chain of restaurants across the country. I'd never been to one before. Went in there and had their house IPA. And I think that was another one where it's sort of, you know, expectations are reasonably low because you think it's just going to be a sort of house IPA for a restaurant, but it was actually brewed by Adnams, and it was a really nice beer, actually. Really, really nice beer. It's sort of beer that wouldn't look out of place, you know, in their stock range. So I don't know whether it's, you know, a sort of standard Adnams IPA, but rebranded, relabeled or whatever. But
yeah,
really nice beer, actually. And sort of pleasantly surprised at that sort of quality of beer available just as a sort of house beer in a restaurant. So, you know, I think that shows a bit of a change in tide, and quite a welcome one, actually. If that's the quality of house beers and sort of beers available in Aldi and that sort of thing, you know, there's some cracking beers available all over the shop now, not just sort of specific little niche places.
Mm.
So it's top.
Yeah, I think it's good in terms of getting more people exposed to craft stuff, isn't it? It's like with Tesco getting rid of a lot of their macro stuff and putting a load of craft stuff in their fridges. You know, just exposing more people to good beer, what we think is good beer, and not, you know, your piss like Carling and stuff like that. But
because I'm a big fan of the vocation stuff that they've got in Tesco as well. The Life and Death is a fabulous, fabulous beer. I was really a big fan of that. So as you say, it's great to see that in your big chains.
Yeah,
for sure.
Mine is Redwell Brewing Company, by the way, not Redwood.
Ah, Redwell.
So yes. Redwell Brewing Company, yeah. So just so I'm just correct with the brewing company. Yeah. Anyway,
we went to Fotheringhay the other day, didn't we?
We did.
We had the Fool's Nook from Digfield Ales, which was very nice. Yeah. I thought it was quite refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly well with a meal I had as well.
Yeah.
Had the roast beef, I think, there. Did you have the lamb?
I did have lamb.
You did have lamb, yes.
Of course you did.
Yeah, cracking little place. It was the Falcon, wasn't
it? Yeah, the Falcon in Fotheringhay. Really nice place.
Very, very nice. Yeah, little tap room at the back.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Which was really good. Yeah, had a couple of guests on, and the Fool's Nook was the one that took our fancy. Really enjoyable pint.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of. So I think now we can move on to the newly revamped IPA or IP. you realise I'm going to keep that neigh in.
Yes, not the best neigh I've ever done.
So, Ashley, could you please explain how we are revamping IPA or IP neigh if they haven't already got it from the jingle?
So, what we did the last time, you know, the sort of debut of IPA or IP neigh, was quite a simplistic: is this an IPA or is it another form of beer?
Yeah,
it was a good game. Worked very well.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think it took a lot of skill to win that game. Yeah. I can't actually remember who won it. I think it was maybe me.
You did win it.
That's why.
I haven't won a single thing so far, so you know what.
Took a lot of skill to win that. But, you know, people wanted it to come back. I think alongside Ashley's question time, this has probably been the second most requested thing to come back.
All that fan mail.
So here we are. God. But we've revamped it, and you know, as you'll have guessed from Mark's excellent jingle there, fantastic jingle, it's all about horses. So the question is, is this an IPA or a racehorse?
Oh, I can't wait to play this game.
I'm going to have to put that epic music behind it which will start right now.
Gentlemen, name number one. Join the queue.
Join the queue. Okay.
IP nay.
I'm going to say racehorse.
So is Tom. And you're both wrong.
Oh!
That's an IPA.
Oh, yeah.
IPA from...
That's what you said.
Actually, join the queue. Q was spelled K-E-W from Q Brewery.
Join the
queue.
Very clever. Okay. Very
good. So, nil-nil. Well, good start. Well done. Yeah. Name number two. Elkstone.
I'm going to go with IPA.
IPA. That's what, yeah.
Okay. Elkstone was in today's 310.
Damn it!
Nil-nil, good stuff.
No!
Imagine going through the whole thing.
Okay, man.
What a penalty shootout this is. All four penalties skied over the bar. The Rainmaker.
IPA.
I'm going to do it. Racehorse.
Someone's got a point. The Rainmaker is an IPA.
Yes! Damn it.
Mark, up to his usual tricks.
It was the brewery
like
on
heard,
the...
Have you got the brewery? I feel like I've heard that.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Sorry. Didn't put that much effort in. Captain's Daughter.
IP nay.
Yeah, I know I'm one behind, but I've got to say IP nay as well.
Well done, Mark. You've kept your 0 points.
Oh, no.
That is an IPA.
Oh. What are you doing? You shit at this.
I'm terrible at everything.
Oh, right. Okay, here's something that...
Is it 1-0?
Yeah, it's 1-0 to you out of fucking 4. Jesus Christ. Handy Hollow.
IPA.
IP nay.
Handy Hollow is in tomorrow's 110.
No! Yes! Oh, God damn it!
That's 2-0. 2-0 to Tom.
How many are remaining?
There are 4 remaining.
Oh, right, okay. Can get back in this. I need to get on the board. Come on.
Todd the Axeman.
Oh, man. Oh, that's...
Todd the Axeman. IP nay.
IPA.
Todd the Axeman can be seen in pubs across the
country. Yeah! Oh, no!
It's an IPA. Mark has a point.
I've got a point on the board.
I'm on there.
2-1 with three remaining.
Come on. Corner Creek.
IPA.
IPA.
Corner Creek. Can be found in Hexham at 3:40
today. Ah! Get in.
I can only tie it up.
Come on.
I've got to go for the opposite of what he says.
Three, one. Two left to go.
Got to tie it up.
I don't know what's going to happen if you draw.
You didn't think of a tiebreaker. It's all right. It probably won't be needed.
Wookie Jack.
IPA.
Got to say IPA. I've got to just try it.
Well, it's got to say IPA. And he's shit out. It's an IPA.
Yes!
Time is the winner.
I knew that was
right. Time is the winner. 4-1. Mark, just for pride. Red Avenger.
IPA. Oh, I can't say it now.
I've got nothing left to lose. IPA.
Well, we did say that last point wins.
It's my face then.
This one's worth 4 points. Mark, pride has been restored. You've lost 4-2. Well done.
There you go.
Well done. That can be found at tomorrow's.
Well played, Mark.
Well played.
Tomorrow, 7 o'clock at Dundalk. I think that's actually second favourite.
Yeah. I love it. You were giving tips there as well.
There we go.
Well,
so I have yet to win anything on the podcast.
It shows the wonderful world of beer and racehorse names.
Absolutely.
It's like that game, I think I've shown you before, IKEA Furniture or European Football Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
If you can find that anyway, Google that. It is a brilliant game to play. So I think we should crack on with our last beer, which is the Penny Lane Pale from Mad Hatter Brewing. Now, we had the Mad Hatter before in probably one of our favourite beers across the board, which was the Tzatziki Sour.
Mm-hmm.
From our sour episode. Tom, you're really inspecting the label closely there. What can... hello.
Sorry.
You're inspecting the label closely there. What can you see?
I can see a rabbit drawing pale onto a sign called Penny Lane.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
I like the artwork, actually.
I do, yeah. I like it. It's cracker. The Tzatziki Sour and had some... Great artwork on there as well.
No, it just says this is our signature brew and it packs in a lot of flavour despite its low ABV. Perfect with food or on its own. Cheers.
Stolen nothing.
Oh, shut up. I didn't even put it on aeroplane mode.
Aeroplane mode.
And it's the ABV is 3.9.
Yeah, another quite
Mad Hatter.
Well, that's heavier than the last one, isn't it?
But not so much.
Yeah. I mean,
it'd be interesting to see if that's noticeable.
Because Penny Lane's an actual place, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not just me talking shit, mate.
Yeah,
like the Beatles
song.
Yeah. So that's why he's drawing it onto the sign.
Exactly.
Glad we got over that one.
We got it.
Oh, right.
It's interesting that it's their signature brew.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Blow the top.
It's interesting that it's their signature brew, actually, that you've ruined with that ball.
Look at that.
Shut up.
Look at that. It does say, actually, pour in one smooth pour. No, it doesn't say. Yeah, it does. It's pour in one smooth pour.
So it did not thought, say that on the Tzatziki as well.
You just thought, do a jerky ass motion. Yeah.
Did it say that on the Tzatziki as well? Maybe. I feel like I've heard that before.
Maybe.
That phrase.
I don't know.
If anyone could go back and listen to our sour episode.
Head for days here.
Yeah, there is quite.
Episode 4, Cometh the Sour.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, if anyone can go listen back and find out if it does say that on the Tzatziki sour at all.
Blimey heck.
That is... I don't know if that's the pouring or if that's just because it looks like To be fair, you've poured this one all right, and there is a fair amount of head to go with it. So,
wow, look at that! You got any flakes? Fuck me!
Well, yeah, sorry. I usually put, I don't know why that's come out like that.
Well, okay, let's give that 15 minutes. Well, we can look at come back to the podcast.
We can see if it has good head retention.
I love how you put the nerd voice on and then just slowly drew yourself away from that.
Which one was mine?
No. You have that one, because I'll have the one with the big
head. So the colouring that isn't the white head of it, yeah, it's got a slightly darker feel to the...
It's dark, isn't it? There's not a lot of light coming through that.
Yeah, especially...
That's probably because there's so much froth...
Against the
ULU. Oh, shut up, will you? Come on.
Yeah, especially against the ULU, which had, obviously with the lemon zest, I think, helped with its kind of brighter colour there.
It's very hazy, isn't it?
It smells very nice.
We're creeping back into that. You know, you often said about having that kind of marshmallowy sweetness smell to it. I think we're creeping back into that with this.
Yeah, it smells great.
Yeah, no, it's a cracking smell, and I can't wait to get tucked into this. So, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Just chew my way through this head.
Tom's livid right now. Mm-hmm.
Never seen a cappuccino beer before.
Oh, he's so angry. He's so angry.
I'm not going to bite.
You know, it looks like Don King.
Don King!
I'm trying to make one more. That's the best I could do.
Don King! Hang on a minute. Don King didn't even have white hair, did he? I thought he had white hair. I thought he had just the big...
Did he have a streak?
Grey... Big grey spice.
The only Don King... image you've got of Don King is from The Simpsons.
You couldn't even give me one lousy round mole. That's the only... Yeah, that's the first image I had in my head. Because that's probably where I'm getting the grey spikes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, edit that out and you can just record me saying the name of a better reference.
Right, back on the bit.
Yeah, back on the bit.
It's just about gone down.
What are you getting from the taste?
Nice fruity sort of first taste it hits the mouth. Bit of hoppiness, bit of bitterness. It is again quite light. Obviously, it's only the ULU is 3.6, 3.9. It's going to be quite light. I really like it.
Yeah, I can see the bitterness coming through in that. Strangely, more than the ULU, which I thought with the lemon zest in it might have more bitterness than this one, but I think personally this has got a fair bit more bitterness to it. Sits well. You can hold that. This is the week where I should be holding stuff on the mouth, because this is being able to you're able to hold this a lot easier. It sits well there. Very nice aftertaste. Really getting the flavors through on the aftertaste, the kind of fruity style flavors there. I'm a fan. I think personally, for me, I would prefer the ULU, but not to say that this is a bad beer by any standards. Really nice and really goes down well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's less hoppy than the ULU, and I think that allows some of those fruitier flavours to come out a bit more. I definitely get that.
So
the first taste is not one of hops. It's sort of more subtle, fruitier flavours than that, which is really nice. I really like them both. I honestly don't know if I could pick a sort of winner. I think for me, if there was a bucket of those floating around in my back garden on a hot day, paddling pool out...
You've got a floating bucket.
Yep. I'd be in an absolute dream town if I had a bucket of them, both of them. Beautiful. Let's do beers like this every week.
I'm really enjoying the flavour. Throughout, like the bit of bitterness and the aftertaste is really good, and you just hold those kind of fruity flavours that are just there and for me it's a really good beer. It's difficult to pick between the two, you know, one's really hoppy, one's one's not, it's a bit maybe more bitterness. So two quite different beers. Obviously, there's a bit more of the flavour, the fruity flavours coming through with the Penny Lane. But yeah, both great, and this one's, you know, again, you could just have a lot of these quite comfortably. Yeah, and it's nice to, and I do like the colour of it actually. I know we don't maybe focus on that, but it just looks like a, like before, like as we poured it in, it just looked, I know I had a lot of head, yeah. But as we pour in, looked at it, it just looked good. It looked like it would have that flavour and stuff. That, yeah.
I think very, both of them pleased. Were very appealing to the eye in terms of flavour.
Yeah.
Certainly, as I said before, with the summer, that kind of summer feel to it, it does feel like one that you just, you could hold up in your hand and just be like, yeah, no, that's ideal.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably have more of the Yulu than with the Penny Lane. I don't know whether personally I'd stick to the Penny Lane all night, whereas I feel with the Yulu, I was a really big fan of that, and mm-hmm. I think I could probably stick with that for an evening. With the Penny Lane, it's not so much, it's not a case of I would get bored of it. I just think, while there is only 0.3 difference, I think there is a slight, you can tell there's a bit of a heaviness, more of a heaviness to it than the Yulu. And I think, yeah, it makes me sound like a bit of a wimp saying I couldn't just stick to a 3.9 all night. But
I think it's the flavour though, isn't it? Like, yeah, it might just be the bitterness. It's just that, you know, for you, the bitterness is a bit heavier. And it's just like, you kind of have more of that. I don't think it's a case of a bit like wimping out on it. I think if you're more of a hop in it, I'll probably go for more of the hoppy flavour to have all night for more of a session. But yeah, both good tasting.
Yeah. Mad Hatter, once again, you know, living up to expectations. Yep. We're all big fans of the Tzatziki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is another cracker from them. And obviously being their signature beer as well, I think you would expect them, yeah. Obviously, they're very proud of this one. So, they've done a cracking job.
Yeah, rightly so.
Cracking job on that. So, I think that about wraps it up for this episode of Men Behaving Badly. Epic Pale, otherwise known as Pale House Rock. otherwise known as Pale Winton. we went through so many names for this one.
But, what was the other one?
Beyond the Pale.
Beyond the Pale, that was one.
50 Shades of Pale.
50 Shades of Pale, which is terrible. That one's,
no, I don't like that.
No. That one does not work. No, although, if we'd have known we were doing something with some tea leaves, we could have just been like 50 Shades of Earl Grey.
Oh.
But is it Earl Grey tea?
No, it's not at all. But
Noah and the Pale?
Yes.
Very, very, very niche indie reference.
Maybe we'll do that episode in 5 years' time.
Oh!
How did you do that?
We should have had these beers in the sun.
Yes. Oh, on that note,
literally,
funniest joke of the night.
I would like to thank Ashley.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank Tom.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.